Hi everyone, welcome to AAEM Social EM Grassroots Highlight Series. This is Lorado, and today we've been joined by Dr. Fisher. Dr. Fisher is a clinical assistant professor at the University of Maryland School of Medicine. He is also the fellowship director of the Health Policy and Leadership Program and the director of policy and advocacy with the Health Alliance for Violence Intervention. Welcome to the show, Dr. Fisher.
Thanks, Lorado. It's great to be here.
Thank you. All right, so we'll get straight into it. Can you please tell us a little bit about what the Health Alliance for Violence Intervention is and what it does?
So the Health Alliance for Violence Intervention is the national organization that represents hospital-based violence intervention programs. We also go by the HAVI, which is a little bit easier. But we have about 50 member hospital-based violence intervention programs around the country, about that many programs that are starting up as well. And these programs really aim to elevate the care of violently injured patients, predominantly those that suffer from community violence, what sometimes gets known as everyday violence or street violence, things like that. People that are really oftentimes neglected by the health system or other social service agencies around the country, we try to elevate the care of those folks.
And I know you mentioned the hospital-based violence intervention programs. What are some of the ways that, let's say, for instance, an institution want to implement a similar program in their own departments? What are some steps you would advise them to take in order to be able to do that?
Great question. I really applaud anyone that's thinking about this question, because it means that you're looking at the patients that you care for and recognizing that the standard of care at so many places around the country, most of the country actually, is really subpar, and we can be doing better for these folks. And so if you're at a hospital or emergency department that takes care of violently injured patients, these are ways that you can improve that care. And so what I generally tell people is, if you're starting a program or are interested in it, the first step is really to talk to the people in your hospital and in your community to figure out what already exists. Are there other programs in your community that are doing the work and you might not even know about it? I frequently find that people are working in cities and maybe there's a street outreach program even down the road, or sometimes there's a program in people's own hospitals they don't even know about. So step one is figure out what's happening around you, so that maybe there's something that you can already plug in with to get things started. If that isn't the case, a great thing that you can do is you can go to our website at the HAVI's, www.thehavi.org, H-A-V-I. And you can see we have a membership directory of programs throughout the country where you can see who's doing the work where. We have lots of resources. We have papers and fact sheets, links to journal articles, all sorts of information to know what it takes to do this type of work.
And so far, what are some of the things that you've seen in terms of like outcomes in different institutions that have implemented this? What are the outcomes have been like?
It's a really great question. I think what I would start with actually is, if you're at an institution that doesn't have a robust system to care for people that are survivors of gunshot wounds or knife stab wounds, what happens if you do nothing? The old treat them and street them mantra: patch you up, discharge you, follow up at trauma clinic, see what happens. We know from the data that doesn't work. It really doesn't. The research that goes back decades, there are papers from like the 1980s that show that this doesn't work. And it doesn't work in a few different ways. So the first way it doesn't work is it doesn't recognize that this is a patient population that has tremendous needs, but is neglected from the traditional medical system or other social services agencies. So they have lots of things that are going on that just won't get the care that they need. So the most common issue that folks have is signs of traumatic stress. It may be post-traumatic stress disorder, or it may be a syndrome of chronic traumatic stress, because we know that the gunshot wound oftentimes is the ramp up of other traumatic experiences that they've had in life. And patients, they don't diagnose themselves. They don't want people to think they're crazy or any of these other really normal human being things. So if we don't connect them to care in a culturally competent, community-based way, it's not going to happen. So that's one thing. Other things are substance use, alcohol use, trouble sleeping. There may be financial implications, right? You get injured and you lost work and now you have medical bills and now you have this new harm of having to pay these bills that you probably can't afford. And so if you do nothing, as you might imagine, there are all of these ripple effects that the gunshot wound is like problem number one, but it's problem number one of about 100. So we know that those issues don't resolve themselves and people need someone else to help guide them through them, right? People are busy, live complicated lives, and people aren't rich, and a little bit of help goes a long way. So to get back to what your question actually was, is how do hospital-based violence intervention programs, or HVIPs, as some of us refer to them, how do they help? So they help on a few different levels. So at the most basic level, we know that HVIPs are really good at meeting these very specific patient-centered needs, like we just talked about. So getting people treatment for traumatic stress when they might not have realized that was a need they even had, that is number one. Getting things like insurance, if they weren't plugged into health insurance, helping to navigate their medical care after replicated traumatic serious injuries, those are huge issues. And then going a step further of helping to address the social determinants of health, right? So what was going on in someone's life that a gunshot wound entered the picture? Helping to escape a potential cycle of violence, might it help for, do they need a new job? Are they looking to get back in school? These are all things that hospital-based violence intervention programs can help with. Additionally, the biggest outcome that people want to know, right? The biggest question that people want to know is, does this decrease the risk that someone will be shot again? Or God forbid, engage in retaliatory violence and shoot someone else. And we have a lot of studies going back about 20 years or so that show pretty good evidence that these programs do decrease the risk of recurrent injury. There's some good evidence that there is the possibility to decrease involvement in the justice system measured through, retaliatory injuries. If we're being super academic about this and you want to journal club it, there are lots of RCTs, but if you look at the RCTs, they're old by today's standards. So if you ever look at an old RCT, you think, oh boy, we would have done it better now. So there are some academic questions about what is that magnitude and is it as good as those early RCTs show? But the bottom line is, between the randomized controlled trials and the case controlled trials and all these observational ones, we find that the risk of people being re-injured when they participate in a hospital-based violence intervention program tends to run around 4 to 5%, which is in comparison to about 30% of people that aren't participating. So all evidence shows that these are on net really helpful programs that save lives. And we should be working harder to, get these programs up and running and refine them, make them better, and contribute to the research, right? I will acknowledge that some of these studies were old and they could be better, but we need new and more research to really refine and perfect it to know how we can really take the best care of violently injured patients.
And let's say, for instance, we are to implement such a thing, like let's say in the ED, what does the structure look like? What are like the key players that people would need, at least fundamentally, in order to get this up and running?
Yeah, great question. There are a few things that any hospital or emergency department would need to really make sure that they have a strong program. The number one most important thing in the system is that you have to have the ability to have as part of your team something that we call a violence prevention professional. They can go by lots of different names, violence intervention specialist, violence interrupter, but altogether, these roles, they're like a community health worker, but with special training for violence prevention. These are folks that generally live in the communities that they work. They know the communities, they know the people. Oftentimes they've survived violent injuries themselves and have come through to the other side with both the physical wounds and the psychological wounds, and now use that to better their community and help out other folks going through these same situations. So that role is importance number one, two, and three. If you don't have that role, it's going to be really hard to have a successful program. So I think that's number one. But along with that, you need a champion, right? Any program that needs to be, that gets set up, you need someone on staff that is ready to spend the time on it, to go to bat for it, to talk to the hospital C-suite and other community partner organizations to really lead this program through, from start to finish, and make sure that it happens well. And that takes time and dedication and someone that is ready to be in it for the long haul. In probably most programs around the country, these folks tend to be either emergency physicians or trauma surgeons, but they don't have to be. They absolutely don't have to be. But you want someone that's trusted and is willing to do the work and have their cultural humility to do it in the right way, right? We know that we as doctors, oftentimes, we're not always from the communities that we serve. It is very common that in busy city trauma centers, it might be that all of the patients are Black and brown and the doctors are white. And that's okay. But if you're a person in that situation, you got to be ready to acknowledge that you are coming from the community as an outsider and ready to be in learner mode and lifting up the community as you do that work. And it's not something you can do on your own.
Yeah, no, that is very true. And if, let's say, for instance, institution want to start it, what are some like ways that you could advise them in order to acquire funding?
That's a really good question. And the funding streams for hospitalized violence intervention programs have really grown over the last few years. But unfortunately, there is no one perfect piece of advice of how I can give you or any program of the perfect way to do it. There are lots of different options. Most commonly, what people will do is they'll find a little bit of funding here, a little bit of funding here, and pull it together as they build up. And ways that you can do that are usually starting out with the clinical champion, having a little bit of clinical buy-down from their hospital or university to say, okay, we'll give you 20% of your time to do this. And that gets some hours on paper. But then that violence prevention professional, you got to pay their salary. They got to put it on the table. You need to make sure that you can hire that person so that they can do that work and have job security. And so we've identified at the Javi a number of different places where this can come from. It can come from victims of crime assistance funds, which come from the state. The Department of Justice has a grant program that just started in the last couple of years that is the Community Violence Intervention and Prevention Initiative, CVIPI initiative. That is $100 million a year investment for right now, for the next few years, that can go to community-based organizations, cities, and states. And so those applications go out every year. We've been leading the way at the Javi to get traditional health insurance to reimburse for this work. And right now we are up to six, closing in on seven states that are having that sort of investment. And there's a number of other different funding streams that are similar to that, that you can explore. So unfortunately, there's no one cookie cutter perfect answer, but it is something that with some conversations with the people you're working with and the hospitals and maybe reviewing some of our information at the Javi, that we can help you figure it out.
Yeah, that's great. And so far, like what has been, how has the community, like the patients we serve, the people in the communities that we serve received these programs?
Great question. The communities that are served by these programs, in high quality programs, it can be life-changing for people. And what we like to say is that the goal of the programs is not just to prevent re-injury and retaliation, because someone just not getting shot, what a low bar that is, what low expectations those are. What we really strive to aim for is to change the life trajectory of someone that's been injured by a violent injury, that comes into the hospital at one of their lowest moments and is met by someone that has been through that same thing and come out to the other side and is now charting a path that maybe they couldn't imagine. So our clients and patients that we take care of, they really grow to be very close with many of the violence prevention professionals that walk them through this journey and help them out in ways that they maybe didn't know that were possible. So the response is positive. At the same time, I have this little bit of this piece in my heart that almost feels like it's a little depressing, because it feels like that just should be the standard of care, right? That after you're injured, we have a team of people. You have a life-threatening event, and we are ready with a team of people to get you through to the other side. For other diseases, we do this. For cancer patients, heart attack patients, for stroke patients, we have these huge systems that in most of the country, in most centers, we do this. But for some reason, when it comes to, you know, 20-year-old Black men and boys, that's not the norm. And we need to change the culture. We need to put in the work. We need to help out our friends and families and brothers and sisters in the community so that we can really elevate the standard of care to what it should be.
Yeah, I agree. Well, all right. And let's say if I'm an individual and I'd like to be involved with Javi as an organization, what are some roles that you would say these would be great for you to be involved in? This is how you can be involved.
Great question. I think the first thing I would ask is, what are your skills and what are your interests? How do you want to be involved? Because there is a place for everyone. Some people, a lot of doctors especially, come to the world from the world of research, and that's great. And continuing to help advance the research is a really helpful way to do it. If you're someone like me who is a policy nerd and I live and die for health policy, and advocacy is just the core of who I am, we've got a great spot for you too. We, at the Javi, we are working across the country, both at the state level and the federal level, and we are pushing everywhere we can to make sure that if you are a community that wants to start a community violence intervention program, you should have the resources to do that because your patients deserve it. So our advocacy side of things, we are ready to go and we are taking as much help as we can get. And as you might imagine, if you've got a skill, we can probably find a way to use that skill because there's so much work to be done.
All right. Thank you so much, Dr. Fisher, for joining us today and for sharing with us all the wonderful things that Javi has been doing for the communities around the country. And also just teaching us how, if let's say we want to start a hospital-based violence prevention intervention, something that we can do. And for our audience who are listening over, hope you enjoyed this episode, you learned something, and you would hopefully be motivated to do a similar thing in your community, in your institution, and also share with some that are interested. All right. And if you have any questions, comments, or suggestions, please put them in the chat box below. And if you'd like us to also highlight some of the great things you're doing at your own institutions or organizations, you can email us at the email below. Until next time, bye.